The Brothers Karamazov by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Dramatized by Micheline Wando. With Freddie Jones as Fyodor Karamazov, Stuart Wilson as Mitya, Michael Maloney as Alyosha, and Tim Briley as Ivan. Episode 7, Prison and Devils.
My name is Alyosha Karamazov. I am the youngest of the three brothers Karamazov. Mitya, the eldest, is in prison, waiting to be tried for the murder of our father. He is about to be visited by his lover, Grushenka Svetlov.
Hello, Mitya.
Hello, Grushenka.
How are you?
How do you think I am?
You look well.
Thank you. You look thin.
I've been ill.
Oh.
I'm much better now, though. I'm sorry I haven't been to see you sooner. I brought you some pies. I made them myself. Go on, take one.
Pies. This is what I think of your pies!
Oh, Mitya, what are you doing?
Feeding your pies to the cockroaches.
I'll leave the rest with the warder.
I won't eat them.
What's the matter with you?
Just mind your own business.
Have you had any other visitors?
My brother Ivan, that's all.
That's nice of him.
It's not nice of him at all. Ivan isn't nice. He's got something up his sleeve.
What sort of thing?
Something to do with Katerina.
What?
He is madly in love with her.
Well, that's all right. You broke off your engagement with her, didn't you? Didn't you?
I suppose so.
You told me you did. The night we...
The night I got arrested. I know.
I've had a letter from my former fiancé.
Ah, the Pole.
He wants to borrow money from me.
Why don't you send him one of your pies?
You are impossible!
That's right, I'm impossible!
You're jealous of everyone and everything! It's ridiculous! Oh, Mitya, don't let's quarrel.
Did you send him money?
Who?
The Pole!
Oh, 10 rubles, that's all.
I don't care. I don't care about anything. I've got something to tell you, Grushenka.
What?
I'm going to Siberia.
Oh, Mitya, darling. They won't find you guilty, I'm sure.
Oh, no! It's connected with a dream. A baby that's cold and crying. With snow everywhere. That's why I must go. Goodbye. And make the sign of the cross.
Oh, Mitya.
See? I'm quite all right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about the pie.
Oh.
You must go now, Grushenka.
Look after yourself, Mitya.
Yes. Yes. Leave me. Go.
Grushenka, what's the matter?
Oh, I think Vita's going mad. Alyosha, what shall I do?
What happened?
I brought him some pies. He threw them on the floor. He's angry one minute, frightened the next. It's terrible.
He's bound to be worried.
Well, perhaps you could get some sense out of him. He's so jealous.
He loves you very much.
Oh, I wouldn't mind if he was really jealous, but I think he's just pretending to be jealous, to get rid of me because he wants Katerina back.
I've heard that Katerina's bringing a lawyer from Moscow to represent her.
Oh, there you are.
Surely you want Mitya to be represented by the best possible lawyer.
Oh, not if she pays for it.
Come on, Grushenka. Mitya loves you more than anyone else in the whole world. I'm absolutely certain of it. Come on. I'll walk home with you.
Don't you want to see Mitya?
I'll come back later.
Oh, thank you, Alyosha. You're a good man.
While I was taking Grushenka home, Ivan came to visit Mitya.
I know all the evidence is against me, Ivan, but I didn't do it.
Well, you would say that, wouldn't you?
You don't have to believe me. Why don't you go and talk to Smedyakov?
That epileptic?
You talk to him about theft and murder.
What do you mean?
I'm not saying any more. Go and talk to him.
Ivan went to find Smerdyakov, who had been taken to hospital.
Dr. Herzenstube.
My dear chap, terrible news about your father. My sympathies.
Thank you, Doctor. I've come to see Smerdyakov. How is he?
Not at all lively.
Can I see him?
Oh, yes. You won't get much sense out of him. His last fit may well have left some brain damage. You'll find him in that little room by the side of the main ward.
Thank you, Doctor. Smedyakov, are you awake?
Who is that? Mr. Ivan.
That's right. How are you?
Bloody awful. My head aches. I ache all over.
May I talk to you?
Can't stop you, can I? Terrible business, sir. I knew it was going to happen. Sit down, sir. You can move that book.
Who's learning French grammar?
I am, sir. Thought I might travel around Europe when I get better.
I see.
Well, out with it.
What do you mean?
You haven't come here to talk about French grammar, Mr. Ivan.
No. Well, remember that conversation we had just before I left for Moscow? You told me then something was going to happen.
Oh, yes.
Did you mean you could see your epileptic fit coming? Doctors say you can't predict an epileptic fit.
Shows how much they know. You may not be able to predict the exact minute, but you can have a sort of presentiment. A funny feeling.
You told me the exact time and place before it happened.
Are you saying I faked my fit?
Well,
you ask the doctors whether it was real or not. Ask the experts. The day you went away, I was frightened. I don't know why. I felt something was going to happen and you wouldn't be there to protect me. Then something or someone grabbed me and threw me down the cellar steps. I begged you not to go to Moscow, Mr. Ivan.
If I'd known my father was going to be murdered, I'd have stayed.
I thought you suspected it might happen, and that's why you went.
Have the police been to see you?
Oh, yes.
Have you given them a statement?
Yes. They asked a lot of questions.
I might as well tell you. Mitya thinks you killed my father and stole the money he kept in the envelope under his pillow.
Well, he would say that, wouldn't he?
I don't know.
I don't care what he says. All the evidence is against him. He'll say anything to try and save himself.
You think so?
Stands to reason. If I'd been planning to murder your father, I wouldn't have said to you that I thought something was going to happen. I may be simple, but I am not that simple.
That makes sense. I don't suspect you. But I must say, I still find it odd that you could predict your epileptic fit with such precision. I suggest you don't mention that to the police. I won't say anything.
Thank you. And I won't say anything about our conversation.
What conversation?
The one before you went to... Well, you didn't go to Moscow, did you?
What are you getting at?
Your father persuaded you to go and sort out some business deal quite near home. So you weren't that far away after all.
But I did go to Moscow. I changed my mind at the station.
Uh-huh. But I didn't know that at the time, did I? Don't worry, Mr. Ivan. Your secret is safe with me.
I think you're tired, Smediakov. I've probably stayed too long. I'd better go now.
Come and visit me again, Mr. Ivan.
By this time, I had seen Grushenka home and was hurrying back to the prison. On the way, I passed Mrs. Koklakov's house.
Alyosha! Alyosha, my dear!
Mrs. Koklakov! How are you?
I've hurt my foot, and it's all swollen. I haven't seen anyone for days. Come and talk to me.
I'm in a hurry.
Oh, just 5 minutes, please.
All right.
Mrs. Koklakov was reclining on a settee, looking very elegant, in spite of her swollen foot.
Have you seen the newspapers, Alyosha?
No.
It's amazing. Look, the Karamazov affair, son on trial. Listen to what they say about Mitya. An arrogant, retired army captain who exercises a particular fascination for women. One of these ladies, an attractive young widow, that's me, offered him 3,000 rubles if he would run away with her to the gold fields. Did you ever hear such a thing?
Are you sure that's meant to be you, Mrs. Koklakov?
Your friend Rakitin, that so-called theology student, wrote this. He's madly in love with me, you know. He wrote a poem to my foot the other day. I spurned him, and to spite me, he sent in this ridiculous story to the newspapers. Alyosha, what is temporary insanity?
Rakitin isn't mad?
No, no, not Rakitin. Katerina has brought a doctor down from Moscow. He wants to prove that Mitya was suffering from temporary insanity when he killed your father.
But Mitya didn't kill him.
Of course he didn't. That old servant, Grigori, killed him. He's the one who was temporarily insane.
Grigori isn't under suspicion.
Well, he wouldn't be if he's temporarily insane, would he?
I don't quite follow you.
I think it would be a good idea if Mitya were found temporarily insane, because then he could be acquitted and he would probably be made a judge, and I could throw a huge party for him. You could come too, Alyosha. Uh-huh.
Mother, where are you?
Oh, dear. Lise can't get used to the idea that I can't just run into her the second she calls me.
Mother!
Well, I'll go and talk to her, shall I, Mrs. Koklakov?
Sometimes I think poor Lise is temporarily insane. But then perhaps anyone would be if they were as ill as she is. Oh, poor child.
I'll go and say hello to her.
Oh, thank you, Alyosha. Don't overtire her, will you?
Lise, how are you? Oh, dear. Aren't you going to shake hands with me?
You've been talking to Mother, haven't you? Did she tell you how I slapped the maid's face?
No, she didn't.
I don't believe you. I sent your brother some sweets in prison.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
No, it isn't. Oh, I'm fed up. Oh,
I'm not surprised. It must be very annoying not to be able to run around like other children.
I'm not a child. I'm 14.
Yes, I'm sorry.
When you were still a monk wearing that stupid cassock, I wrote you a letter and said I loved you and wanted to marry you.
That's right, Lise.
But you said you would when I was old enough. Did you mean it?
Well, I...
Oh, it's all right. I changed my mind. I've decided I won't marry you after all.
Why is that?
Because I don't respect you. If I married you and then fell in love with someone else and asked you to take a message to him, you probably would. I love you, but I don't respect you.
That doesn't make sense, Lise.
Do you mind that I don't love you anymore?
Well, no.
I could fall in love with you all over again for giving me permission to stop loving you.
You're very convoluted today.
Oh, I don't want to be convoluted. I want someone to marry me and treat me badly and deceive me and then leave me. I want to burn this house down.
Perhaps your life is too comfortable, Lise.
That's the sort of thing your stupid monastery taught you.
Perhaps it's true.
What does it matter if I'm rich and everyone else is poor? If I were poor, I'd probably kill someone. I hate sitting around doing nothing.
Well, one day your legs may be better.
It's got nothing to do with my illness.
You have suffered a lot, I know.
Do you think that makes me good? I don't want to be good. I want to be evil. I want to do terrible things. At first, no one would know it was me. Then they would find out, and I would be pleased.
I think everyone is sometimes a little in love with the idea of doing evil.
Everyone pretends they hate evil, but really, in their heart of hearts, they are fascinated by it. Look at your brother, Meteor. He's being tried for murder, and everyone in town is absolutely thrilled at the idea he's killed his father.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, it is, however much they pretend to disapprove.
Perhaps there is a grain of truth in what you say.
That's the monk in you speaking. Listen, Alyosha. I have this wonderful dream. I'm in a room, and there are lots of cupboards and drawers. Suddenly, they all burst open, and crowds of devils jump out, and they all come towards me and try and grab me, and I cross myself, and they draw back. Then I start cursing God in a really loud voice, and they're all delighted, and they rush towards me again. I cross myself, and they draw back into the corners. Alyosha, will you always be my friend?
Of course I will.
I don't feel embarrassed talking to you. I don't know why. I hate everything. I have nothing to live for. Alyosha, do you love me?
Of course I do.
Will you cry for me?
If you want me to.
Thank you. I don't care if everyone hates me. I don't love anyone anyway. You must go now, Alyosha.
Very well, yes.
Leave the door open.
As soon as I had left, Lise put her little finger in the doorway and slammed the door with all her strength. Oh. Then she opened the door and leaned back in her invalid chair, watching her blackened finger and the blood that oozed from under the fingernail.
Mean. Mean! 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 Mean!
It was already dark when I finally arrived at the prison gates. As I approached Meteor's cell, I could hear that he was not alone.
Alyosha, my old friend. Well, not very old, and less of a friend and more of a brother. Well,
you're very cheerful today, Meteor.
I have been discussing serious matters with Rakitin here.
Hello, Alyosha.
Here we all are, cellmates. Cells of a different kind, eh? Me, a cell in a prison, you, cells in a monastery. Rakitin isn't going to be a monk after all, Alyosha.
What are you going to do, Rakitin?
Well, he's going to Petersburg to become a progressive critic. He wants to launch his career with an article about me.
From what point of view, Rakitin?
Victim of his environment. That sort of thing. He couldn't help committing a crime.
But he hasn't committed a crime.
You see what a loyal brother I've got?
I'm offering a scientific analysis.
It's a sort of chemical reaction. I see something that frightens me, and something happens to the nerves in my brain. Well, I don't understand it, but he might as well make his fortune out of me. I'm done for.
No, that isn't true.
If it's all chemistry, there's not much hope for God.
Rakitin didn't have much time for God when he was a theology student.
Well, he positively dislikes God. In a godless world, anything goes. A clever man can do anything he likes.
Indeed, he can. But you, Meteor, if you will forgive my saying so, are not a clever man. A clever man would get away with murder. You are rotting in prison.
Rakitin writes poetry, too.
I'm planning to marry a young widow, buy a big house in Petersburg, and start a newspaper.
He's going to marry Mrs. Kotlikoff.
I wouldn't bang on it. Look, I think you should stop being so frivolous, Meteor. You're going to be put on trial. The judgment of God will be passed upon you.
Not God, Alyosha. Not God.
While I was visiting Meteor, there was something on Ivan's mind. Since he'd been back in town, he had avoided Katerina because he feared that she still cared about Meteor. Now he felt he had to confide in someone to share the burden of guilt which Smeryakov had placed on his shoulders.
So you see, Katerina, if Smeryakov murdered my father, then I must be as guilty as he is because I put him up to it. At any rate, I condoned it.
Ivan, let me show you something. Read this.
What is it?
It's a letter from Mitya, written on the back of a bill before he was arrested. He must have been drunk. Go on, read it.
Beloved Katya, tomorrow I shall get hold of your 3,000 rubles and give them back to you. And if I can't get the money by honest means, then I shall go to my father, hit him on the head and take the money from under his pillow. Good God.
There's more.
I'll give you back the money, even if I have to go to Siberia for it. I've treated you badly, forgive me. Dmitri Karamazov is not a thief, but he has murdered his father and ruined himself in order that you will not despise him. Your slave and enemy, D. Karamazov.
Well, that's a confession, isn't it?
It was written before the murder.
Well, then I suppose it's proof of his intention to commit it.
So it was Mitya. I am exonerated.
Exactly.
What if Mitya conspired with Smeryakov?
Oh, I don't think that's likely.
No. Well, thank you, Katerina. I feel a lot better now.
Better? Knowing that Mitya is guilty?
Well, I know how it must sound. I can't explain it. I feel better.
If my lawyer can convince the court that Mitya killed your father in a fit of temporary insanity, then he may not have to spend long in prison. It gives us some hope.
Yes.
Aren't you pleased?
Yes, yes, of course I'm pleased. I'd better go.
No, no, it can't be important. I'm not expecting anyone. Alyosha.
I hope you don't mind my dropping in like this. Ivan?
Hello, Alyosha. Surprised to find me here?
No, no, of course not.
Sit down, Alyosha.
I've come from the prison, from Mitya.
How is he?
Well, I think he asked me to give you a message.
I was just going.
Don't be silly, Ivan. What is it, Alyosha?
Well,
you can speak in front of Ivan.
Mitya said he would prefer you not to say anything in court about what happened when you first met.
Oh. When my father was in trouble?
Yes. I think that was what he meant.
When I was prepared to give myself to Mitya in order to get the money to pay back my father's debts. I don't understand. Does Mitya want me to keep quiet to spare himself or me?
For both your sakes.
I wonder what Mitya will think when I give evidence.
I must get out. Some air. Some fresh air.
Ivan! What has happened?
I think he's ill. Oh, go after him, Alyosha. Hurry!
Ivan! Hang on a minute. I'll walk with you. Slow up a bit. What's the hurry?
Katerina told you to follow me, didn't she?
She's worried about you.
Do you think one can tell if one is going mad?
I'm sure one can't be objective about oneself.
I suppose not.
What did Katerina mean when she said she wondered what Mitya would think about...
About giving evidence? She's got proof of Mitya's guilt.
What?
She's got a letter in dear old Mitya's handwriting, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that he killed our father.
That's impossible.
I've seen it myself.
Look, it is not possible because Mitya didn't kill father.
Do you know something we don't?
You know who it is.
Are you saying I did it?
Of course not.
You must be mad. I was in Moscow when it happened.
I know.
I hate Mitya for having killed father. I hate him because... Oh, never mind.
Because of Katerina. She loves you, you know.
Nonsense. She's hiring doctors and lawyers and God knows what from Moscow to try and save Mitya.
Perhaps she's just doing it as a fellow human being.
An act of charity? Don't be ridiculous. I don't know what to do. I can't get her out of my mind. I'm going to help Mitya escape.
Ivan.
I'll give him, 30,000 rubles and get him away to America with Grushenka. Then everyone will be happy again.
I think you should go home and rest.
It's a secret. You mustn't tell anyone. So much for any idea that I killed father in order to get money for myself.
But who on earth said you had? Ivan, you're not well.
I'm as guilty as Mitya is, whatever any stupid letter says. I've got to go and see someone. Got to get one final thing sorted out. Goodbye, Alyosha.
Ivan, wait a minute!
Ivan hurried back towards Smeryakov's house. A rumble of thunder sounded in the distance. It was getting dark.
Martha.
Smart away, is he?
Oh, Mr. Ivan.
I've come to see Smerdyakov. I must talk to him.
He's not really very well, sir. He's not quite himself. You won't stay long, will you, sir?
Just as long as I need.
Smerdyakov was lying on an old mahogany sofa. He was thin and sallow. His eyes were sunken, with dark patches under them.
Sit down, Mr. Ivan.
I don't want to sit down.
I think you'd better. You're shaking.
I'm not.
Take your coat off.
Has Katerina been to see you? Why are you laughing?
You don't want to know the answer to that.
What do you mean?
Go home, Mr. Ivan. Don't worry about the trial. You didn't murder him.
I know that.
Your hands are shaking. Are you sure you didn't murder him? Mr. Ivan, please let go. You're hurting me.
I'll hurt you a lot more before I'm finished.
All right. Let's be honest with each other.
Yes.
You murdered him. You were the chief murderer. I was only your loyal accomplice, and I did it because you told me to.
You did it. You murdered my father.
Come on, don't play the innocent.
This is a dream. You're a ghost.
Rosa, I'm not a ghost. We're both sitting here, and we're both very real. And then there is someone else.
Who? Who else is there?
God, sir. Providence itself. Here beside us. Don't bother looking under the bed, Mr. Devart. You won't see anything.
You're a liar. You didn't kill him. You're mad.
Just a minute, sir. I've got something here. In my sock. There. Look at that.
What's this?
What's it look like? Pretty rainbow-coloured 100-ruble notes. Count them. You'll find it's all there. The whole 3,000.
I don't believe it. All this time I thought Mitya. Did you kill him all by yourself? Or with Mitya's help?
With your help, sir. Your brother's innocent. You cold, sir? Thirsty? Shall I get you some lemonade?
Tell me everything. Every single detail.
It was done in the simplest, most natural way possible.
So you did fake that epileptic fit?
But of course I did, sir. I faked it all. I threw myself down the cellar steps and screamed and writhed in convulsions.
What about when I saw you in hospital? Oh,
that was real. I had a real fit when they took me to hospital, but that was later. After I faked the first fit, they put me to bed behind the partition in Grigori and Marfa's room. That's where I sleep when I'm ill.
Mitya came to see my father.
That's right. I knew he'd come that night. I knew he was planning to kill the old man.
There's a flaw there. If Mitya had killed father, he would have taken the money and you'd have got nothing out of it.
He'd never have found the money. I told him it was under the pillow, but it wasn't.
So Mitya killed him and you took the money?
Oh, no, sir, he didn't kill him. Now, I don't want to lie to you. I want you to understand everything very clearly. I want you to understand that you, Mr. Ivan, are really responsible for this murder, that you alone are the real killer. I'm lying in bed, pretending to be asleep.
Grushenka, is that you?
It's the master, old Mr. Karamazov. Old Grigori gets up and goes outside. I hear a shout from him, and then it goes quiet. I'm lying there, my heart pounding. I get up and go outside. I creep round to the master's bedroom window, and I hear him rushing around, moving things and making noises.
Mr. Karamazov? It's me, Smerdyakov. Is everything all right?
He's been here. He's been here and run away.
Who's been here, sir?
Mitya, my son Mitya. He's killed Grigori.
Where?
Over there somewhere in the garden.
Wait here, sir.
So I go to the bit of the garden he's pointing at, and I stumble over Grigori, unconscious, covered in blood. So I decide then and there to finish it.
Mr. Karamazov, she's outside, sir.
Who's outside?
Miss Svetlov, sir.
Where is she?
There, sir, by the garden door. She wants you to open the door, sir. She's given the signal.
My darling Grushenka.
Here, sir, under the window.
But I can't see.
She must have been scared by the shouting. She's hiding in the bushes. Call her.
Grushenka, my darling. Where are you?
There she is, sir. In that bush, laughing at you.
Where? I don't see. Grushenka.
I grabbed the paperweight from the table. It must have weighed at least 3 pounds. I pick it up and hit him on the head.
Grushenka. Where?
Not a sound from him. Slumped on the floor. I hit him again. He's covered in blood. No blood on me, thank goodness. I wipe the paperweight, take the envelope with the money in it from behind the icons, tear off the pink ribbon from the envelope, then I go back into the garden. I've left a bit of rag on the ground near the old apple tree, and I wrap the money in that, put it in a hole in the tree trunk, and then I go back to bed, hoping that Grigori is still alive, because then he'll testify that Mitya was in the garden. The money was in the tree when I came out of hospital.
Just a minute. Grigori claims the door from the garden was open before he was attacked.
Grigori's an old man. He imagined it all. The door wasn't opened until after he'd been knocked unconscious.
You worked all this out on the spur of a moment.
Oh, really, sir? Give me some credit. No. I planned it very carefully beforehand.
The devil himself must have helped you. I've been wrong about you, Smeliakov. You're not at all stupid.
Thank you, sir.
You're lucky I haven't killed you.
What are you saying?
I may have wished my father dead, but I did not put you up to it. I don't care what you say in court. I shall tell the truth.
You're definitely not well, sir. I don't think you'd better say anything in court.
What do you mean?
There's no point taking all the responsibility on yourself. I shall swear I never said any of this to you, and it's just a figment of your fevered imagination. You look very hot. You're so sorry for your brother that you're prepared to sacrifice yourself. You've got no proof.
There's the money.
Take it with you, sir. I don't want it. I did have this idea of starting a new life in Moscow, or even going abroad. But it was just a dream. You once said that there was no God, no such thing as virtue, and therefore no morality. That meant anyone could do whatever they liked. Well, that's what I want to do. Get rid of the money.
Are you trying to buy me off?
No. You like money. You want to live in peace and comfort and not have to bow and scrape before anyone. I think you're probably more like the old man than Mr. Mitya or Mr. Alyosha. You've got the same kind of soul.
And I thought you were a fool.
You thought I was a fool because you're arrogant. Go on. Take the money.
I will. I'll produce it in court.
No one will believe you. They'll all think it's your own money.
I could murder you.
You don't dare, sir. You're very brave with words, and that's as far as it goes.
I'll see you in court.
Of course, sir.
The storm was still in progress outside the cottage. Ivan went back to his room, made some tea, but didn't drink it. He sat on into the night, his head leaning heavily on his hands, staring at the wall opposite him, preoccupied, unseeing. As time passed, Ivan gradually became aware of a figure sitting on the sofa in front of the wall.
How the hell did you get in?
The gentleman had long hair, slightly streaked with grey, and a small, clipped, pointed beard. His brown coat was well cut, but a little threadbare, like a well-bred landowner who was down on his luck.
Well?
He wore a tortoiseshell lorgnette on the end of a black silk ribbon. On the middle finger of his right hand was a massive gold ring with a cheap opal stone.
I'm waiting.
Did your visit to Smerdyakov achieve anything?
What does it matter?
I just wondered. Were you looking for material proof? That isn't real proof anyway. Thomas believed, not because he saw that Christ had risen, but because he wanted to believe.
I'm not interested in your mental gymnastics tonight.
Aren't you?
I don't even believe you're here. I'm going to wrap a wet towel around my head and then maybe you'll disappear. Do you want one?
No, thanks. I have no trouble believing in my existence.
Right, then.
I'm glad we can talk freely.
That's better. This throbbing's already easing off. You're still here, eh? If you're going to stay, you'll have to amuse me. Have you got any gossip?
Mr. Ivan Karamazov, you're talking to me as if I were a real person. I'm flattered.
No need to be flattered. You're my illness. A ghost, a phantom, a figment.
Come on. We've met before.
Have we? I don't remember.
Once, a long time ago, you had a conversation with your good little brother, Alyosha. You said something about me to him then.
If I did, it was just a momentary aberration.
He's a nice boy, that Alyosha. I feel a little guilty about him.
Oh, you've been visiting him too?
No. Remember when his beloved elder died and the body began to stink straight away?
Oh, no. Was that you? Oh, really? That is very wicked.
I'm glad you find it amusing. Let's be serious now. I gather you've decided to sacrifice yourself in court for your brother. Very chivalrous.
Shut up or I'll kick you out.
There. You do believe in me. You wouldn't bother to kick a ghost out.
I don't want you talking about Alyosha.
Why not?
I hate you.
Let me tell you a little about myself. I am poor, but I am, well, not exactly honest. Think of me rather as a fallen angel. I am terribly slandered. I live as decently as I can. I love your earth. Here everything is clearly marked. Everything is as clear as geometry. Whereas where I come from, it's all so vague. On earth I can dream and be superstitious. It's wonderful. And your medical expertise, well, last spring there was a smallpox epidemic and I went to the hospital and got myself vaccinated and gave a donation of 10 rubles. You don't look very well yourself, Ivan.
None of your business.
You should look after yourself. There's a lot of rheumatism about.
What do you know about rheumatism?
You'd be surprised. When I'm human, I have to take all the consequences. Last year, I was on my way to a diplomatic reception in Petersburg. White tie and tails, the whole thing. And I was late, so I had to fly like the devil. If you'll pardon the expression. And up there, you know, there is the most incredible frost. 150 degrees below. Well, you can imagine.
Please, I'm not an idiot.
My right side got quite numb. I was in agony. I went to dozens of doctors, and although they could all tell me what was wrong, none of them could do anything for me.
I am not interested.
One medical student actually said to me, "You may die, but at least you'll know what you're dying of." Fat lot of consolation, eh?
Why are you here?
Well, now, that is rather a profound question, isn't it? Why are we here?
I want to know whether there is a God.
Isn't this where we came in? If you can prove that the devil exists, then you have proved that God exists.
Go to hell.
Oh, that's very good. I must remember that.
Well, tell me. Is there a God or isn't there?
I'll tell you the truth.
Good.
I don't really know. There.
That proves it. If you don't know, then you can't be real. You are just something that's popped out of my imagination. You are just me talking to myself.
It is true that you and I share the same philosophy, and it's a good philosophy. Je pense, donc je suis. I think, therefore I am.
I would like to believe in you, but I can't.
I should have appeared to you in thunder and lightning, in a red glow with my wings singed about the edges. When Mephistopheles appeared to Faust, he introduced himself as someone who desired evil, but did only good. Now, I'm just the opposite. I'm probably the only man in the entire world who genuinely desires good and loves truth. I'm quite ordinary. So vulgar. A devil coming to visit such a great man? I don't claim to be your equal in intellect, Ivan.
Shut up.
Someone else gets the credit for all the good things, and I'm left with the rest. But I'm not ambitious. You've let your tea get cold.
Damn the tea!
Temper, temper. I like your sort. A skeptic.
Shut up!
Once humanity renounces God, a new era will dawn. People will unite to get everything they can out of life, but for happy and not greedy motives. Nature will be conquered, and science will rule, and people will be so joyful that they will be compensated for having lost the hope of joy in heaven. Everyone will know they are mortal, that there is no resurrection, and that they will accept death serenely and proudly. We will love one another without exacting
any reward. I wrote that.
The question is, my young friend, will such a time ever come?
Yes, yes, yes.
People are so terribly stupid. I doubt very much whether they can see the light as you have. If there is no God, no immortality, no morality, why then, everyone really can do as they please. That's all very well, if you just want to lead a life of crime.
I don't have to listen to any more of this.
Oh, dear. Now I've got tea stains all over my trousers. How on earth am I going to get them out?
No, and I don't care. I'm tired.
Why don't you have a little sleep?
With you sitting there.
You're quite safe with me. Just close your eyes. Lean your head down on your arms on the table. That's right.
Martha?
Smidyakov's locked himself in. Please, come.
Very well.
I was going into his room just to clear away. I knocked on the door. He didn't answer. I thought he was asleep and I went away. And then just now, I went back. I knocked again and there was still no answer. I tried the door. It wouldn't open. I've got this terrible feeling. Oh. You try the door, Mr. Alyosha.
Right. No, I'll have to break it down.
Is he dead, Mr. Alyosha?
Yes, Martha. There's nothing more we can do. What's that on the table?
That's his book. He was writing it. Paul Smediakov.
I put an end to my life, my own free will. And no one should be blamed for it. Come. You'd better tell Police Inspector Makarov. I must go and find Ivan.
May I come in? Alyosha. You've fallen asleep at the table.
Oh. Yes, so I have.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
What news?
Smeryakov has hanged himself.
I know.
But Martha couldn't have got here before me.
No. It wasn't Martha. He told me.
Who did?
He's gone. He must have slipped out when he heard you coming. He's probably afraid of you. You look too much like a cherub.
Who are you talking about?
I've got a terrible headache.
Oh, do you want a towel to put round your head?
It's all right.
No, don't worry. There's a clean one here by the washstand.
By the washstand?
Yes, but...
Oh, never mind.
What's the matter?
Isn't there another towel?
This is the only one I can see. Now, come, wrap it round your head.
Thank you. What time is it?
Nearly midnight.
Look.
What?
That broken glass there, you see? He was here. It wasn't a dream at all.
Who are you talking about, Ivan?
The devil. The devil was here. He's taken to dropping in on me for a chat. He accused me of expecting him to appear in thunder and lightning, but it isn't true. Actually, he isn't the devil at all. He's just impersonating Satan. Bloody little imposter. Take his trousers off and you'll find a long, smooth tail a yard long.
Have you been drinking?
Of course not. He wouldn't even let me have my tea.
Come and lie down. Come on.
All right. You know, Alyosha, I would never commit suicide. You know why? I'm not a coward. It's because I want to stay alive. I'm passionate about living. Alyosha, how did I know Smerdyakov had hanged himself?
I don't know, Ivan.
That monster visited me.
Ivan, if you're worried about Father, I told you, I know you didn't kill him.
He's very clever, you know. Told me one or two home truths, things I would never have been able to admit to myself.
Ivan, now lie down. I'll cover you up.
He laughed at me. He told me I was going to sacrifice myself for Mitya's sake.
It isn't true, Ivan.
He said I wanted people to praise me for trying to save Mitya, but that's a damn lie. That's why I threw the glass at him.
You must stop this.
He says Smerdyakov was dead and no one will believe my story in court now. I can't bear it anymore, Alyosha.
He couldn't have told you about Smeryakov's death because nobody knew.
That's what he talked about. He called me a coward. Smeryakov has got to be killed, Alyosha. He mustn't be allowed to go on living. He called me a coward and I'm not a coward. Katerina despises me, and soon you'll despise me, and Mitya will despise me, and I shall hate you just as I hate Mitya. He can rot in prison. I won't lift a finger to save him.
I'd better call the doctor.
I don't want a damn doctor. At least try and sleep.
Now, I'll stay here with you.
Thank you. Alyosha, don't leave me, will you?
I'll be right here. Go to sleep.
I sat by Ivan's bedside until his breathing was calm and even. Then I lay down on the sofa and slept. The following day, the doctor from Moscow, the same one Katerina had brought down to see Mitya, examined Ivan and pronounced him physically fit, but said he was obviously under some considerable mental strain. He recommended rest. It was the day before Mitya's trial. I went to visit him in prison.
Come in, Alyosha. Oh, it's been quite a day. Hardly had a moment to myself.
Would you rather I didn't stay?
Don't be so self-effacing. I want to talk to you.
What about?
My soul.
Everyone keeps talking to me about their souls.
You're getting tired of it?
Well, not really. But I want to get some practical things sorted out before...
Before the trial. Don't be embarrassed. Ask away.
Have you talked to the lawyer?
Oh, yes, slimy little toad.
What's wrong with him?
Nothing at all. He thinks I did it. He doesn't believe a word I say. I don't know why he's bothered to come all the way from Moscow, and I've seen that ridiculous Dr. Katerina dragged all the way down.
Do you think he'll be helpful?
He wants to prove that I'm insane. It's ridiculous. I don't understand what Katerina is trying to do. Anyway, to hell with those so-called experts and to hell with her.
She means well.
All the facts are against me. Experts won't make any difference.
Has Katerina been to see you?
Good heavens, no. Grishenka has. I get so jealous. I kissed her when she went, but I didn't say I was sorry.
Why on earth not?
I couldn't. I,
I'd be at her mercy. I don't trust women. I'll have to find a different way to make it up to Grishenka. Do you think they'll let us get married in prison?
I don't know. I think she understands your jealousy.
I'll always love her. Then there is Ivan and his grand plan for my escape. It's actually an amazing idea.
You can't take it seriously, Mitya.
Ivan says a man can be of more use in America than doing hard labor in Siberia. Now, I want you to decide, Alyosha, when the verdict is passed. I don't want you to tell me what you think now.
Aren't you frightened?
I know I didn't kill Father, but for some reason it has fallen to me to be punished for it. I accept that. I welcome suffering. I am in prison, and even if I can't see the sun, I know that it shines somewhere. In the past 2 months, I've had a lot of time to think. It's as if a new me has come to the surface. Now, he was always there, but this shock has made it possible for him to come up for air. Now, when I was arrested, I had a strange dream about a baby. I didn't understand it, but I realize now that it meant that we're all somehow responsible for one another.
You sound almost religious.
The convict can't live without God any more than the rest of you can. So, I want you to decide, after the verdict, whether I should escape.
Perhaps the new man will decide.
You won't tell Ivan, you know, will you?
Did he ask you not to tell me?
Yes, I suppose he thought you would act as my conscience. Poor Ivan.
Are you sure you'll be found guilty?
Well, we shall see. Ivan may want me to escape, but he really believes that I did it.
Did he say so?
I didn't dare ask him, but I could see it in his eyes.
You should get some rest, Mitya. I'll see you tomorrow in court.
Alyosha, just one more thing.
What?
Tell me the truth. Tell me the whole truth as if you were standing before God. Do you believe I did it? Now, don't lie to me.
What are you saying, Mitya?
The truth, Alyosha. The truth.
I haven't believed for a single moment that you are the murderer.
Thank you, Alyosha. You have given me new strength for tomorrow. God bless you. Now kiss me and make the sign of the cross over me, for the cross I shall have to bear tomorrow. Alyosha.
Yes?
Ivan needs your love.
As I left the prison, my eyes were blinded by tears. The following day was the start of the trial of Mitya Karamazov for the murder of our father, Fyodor Pavlovich Karamazov.
In the seventh episode of The Brothers Karamazov by Fyodor Dostoevsky, Fyodor Karamazov was played by Freddie Jones and Mitya by Stuart Wilson. Alyosha was Michael Maloney and Tim Briley, Ivan. Grushenka, Eleanor Braun. Katerina, Angela Dunn. The Devil, Peter McHenry. Smidyakov, Andy Hockley. Lise, Charlotte Martin. Mrs. Kochlakoff, Gillian Goodman. Grigori, Edwin Richfield. Dr. Herzenstube, Simon Carter. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wandor, The Brothers Karamazov was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Philip Martin.
Karamazov was translated by David Margashak.